He was tall and thin, and I was not. I was not as round as I make myself out to be, but we kind of looked like a lowercase b walking around. I mean, he was pretty Ichabod Crane, and I wasn't. So that's sort of how we looked as we went around. There's things we didn't have in common. I played football and played sports. He was a great in art. What we shared was we were both into music. We both went to the same Bible classes, same church, same retreats, went all over the place. And when it came time to go to college, I came to school here at Freed Hardeman, and he went somewhere else. And after college, one day we met and we talked, and I asked a question I asked most of the people I went to school with, "Hey, where do you worship now?" He said, "I got to tell you, I don't anymore." I said, "What happened?" Realize I'm looking at somebody who I've seen do mission trips. I have seen reach out for God, all these different things. And he said, "Well, I've just had a lot of thoughts over the past few years, and where I am right now, I don't believe anymore." I said, "What led you here?" He said, "Well," he said, "you know that my dad died when I was young. His dad died on a business trip, and they had a heart episode, and when they found him, he was in a hotel room with a Bible open in his lap." He said, "How could God take my dad away from my mom and me and my brother and sister and leave us here? I just can't believe in a God like that." And I did what was smart. I kept my mouth shut, and he kept talking. He said, "Also, you remember our housekeeper?" I said, "Yes, I remember her, sweet lady." He said, "Man, she was one of the best people I ever met." And he said, "I can't believe in a God who would say that just because she wasn't baptized into Christ, she would never go to heaven. I just can't believe in a system because she was better than the rest of the people I knew." He went on and said, "You remember the youth minister we had? And we had a bunch." He said, "You know, he's in jail right now." He said, "I heard that he abused his wife. What kind of a example would that be?" And he went on and on and finally got where he said, "You know, the way I am right now is if when you go to die, the last thing you think is good thoughts, that's heaven. And if you lay there with dread and struggle, that's hell. And that's just sort of where I am." I got physically sick that night. Listening to my friend again, who had heard the same sermons, who had been to the same places, who I'd seen restored to Christ and respond at youth events, who I'd seen give devotionals, all these different things, a person who went from having faith to having none. I'm going to guess that most of us have had our struggle at some time with faith and doubt. I don't know what brought that on for you. I know that there's a lot of things that can bring that on, a lot of different things that can happen. I think about that disappointment with God. There's a lot of disappointments we deal with, but probably the most difficult one for us to handle is when God doesn't live up to our expectations. He doesn't do what we think He ought to do. And when He doesn't do that, we struggle. I still have moments where I struggle. I struggle with two of these ladies who are in these pictures who are no longer here on earth. Just a few weeks ago, Michael Daniels, a dear friend of mine who also lives in Spring Hill, was driving to Horizons and was killed in a car wreck. And I don't have a clue why. The other picture is Amy Glass, who left this world in her early 20s, one of the sweetest, kindest, most genuine, Christ-like people both these ladies are. And I know that they're not here right now. I know that they're in a better place there with the Lord, but I know that the fact that they are not here and there are other people who do evil who are here causes doubt and sometimes disappointment in God, because it is a struggle when our needs aren't met. I sit there and think about, there are some of us in this audience right now that are struggling with financially at home, and there's disappointments there. You're not making what you need to, or you're struggling. I sit there and think about those right now whose job is not going well. You feel like you may lose your job at any time. You think about that struggle and you're disappointed maybe that you don't have the job you want or you were let go from the job you want. I think about those who have jobs and are very, very unsatisfied with them. They may work with ungodly people, be asked to do things that aren't right. You see that hanging over people. There's also disappointment a lot of times in our marriages. I sit there and struggle as I hear just about 2 weeks ago, one of our members text me to let me know that he and his wife have already filed for divorce. You know, that's when preachers and elders find out after they've already gone to a lawyer. That seems to be the case most of the time, not when you can do anything about it and help. And you hear that and you're trying to fix that and you think about the kids who are involved and you see that struggle. There are some people whose families are just in a shambles right now. They got children who are rebelling against them or rebelling against God or maybe caught up in an addiction. Or maybe there are children whose parents are doing those same things. I think about us who are disappointed at times in friendships that don't go the way we think they should go. I think about those who are dealing with medical things today. We start off nearly every service at our congregation, y'all do here too, with what? A sick list. Announcing all those who are struggling with something and all these disappointments can come from that. I think about people who have chronic pain. It's one thing to be hurt and feel better the next few minutes. It's another thing to be hurt and realize that you're going to hurt like this for a long time. I think about those who are dealing with those who have lost loved ones. You just announced a while ago that Brother Parrish passed away. His son, Tim Parrish, is a preacher in Lebanon, Tennessee. He was in school with me. A fine, fine guy, a wonderful guy, and he lost his dad today. I've got to go back tonight because I'm doing a funeral tomorrow of a 62-year-old lady who died of cancer this week. And you think about all these things, and disappointment comes whenever our expectations are here and our reality is here. Whenever our expectations are not met, we struggle with disappointment. You need to realize that what's going to happen is whenever our expectations are not met, we feel a loss of some kind. And we as humans grieve all losses, big and small. Some disappointments are big, some are little. Some are like this. Have you ever bitten into a cookie that should be chocolate chip and somebody put raisins in it? There ought to be a law against such. I'm for oatmeal raisin cookies. Those are great. But if it looks like a chocolate chip cookie, you know what should be in it? Chocolate chips. It's not that hard. They sell them at the same store, I promise. You can drop them in, and you have had that bite where you're like, this is just not good. I love banana pudding. And I know one lady said, made banana pudding for me, and she put pineapples in it. I'm like, why do you ruin what God gave us and all its goodness? I like pineapples, but it's not called banana pineapple pudding. It's called banana pudding. There's certain things that aren't that big a deal. They're really not, but we're disappointed. But I think about bigger things. Many times what disappoints us in this life are people. People let us down. And sometimes those people are in our family. We expect something from them and they don't live up to it. Sometimes we're in circumstances that we think should go a certain way. And we get so frustrated at that. And our expectations and disappointments are there. And I'm going to tell you, when I think of all the people I've been disappointed in my life, there's nobody I've ever been more disappointed in than the person I see in the mirror every day. Here's the deal. Disappointment's going to happen. Theology is a big deal. Theology is what we believe about God, our interaction with God. And I think there's so many people who have a really, really bad theology. The theology is this. If we believe in God that you will never suffer, that God wants you to be rich, that you will be happy, that God will always protect you, nothing bad will ever happen to you. If you don't believe this is the theology of some, don't watch that guy that comes on Saturday nights who has a lot more hair than I do and a better smile. He sells millions of books telling people this every day. And what happens if you go out and tell people if you believe in God, nothing ever, ever bad will happen. As soon as something bad will happen, they don't look at you and go, you're not that smart. They look at God and go, why did you fail me? And they walk away from Him. C.S. Lewis said it this way, if you do not listen to theology, that does not mean you will have no ideas about God. It means you will have a lot of wrong ones. You're probably wondering when I was going to bring out the Bible. Here it is, Matthew 16, 33. Look what Jesus says here. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. I am for peace. In this world you will have trouble. Not so much. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Sandwiched in the middle of peace and overcoming is in this world you will have tribulations, you will have trouble, you will have struggle, you will have disappointments. It's there. It is a promise of God. But how do we have peace and trouble at the same time? Jesus said this, the same one that said, believe me, baptized, be saved, said in this world you will have tribulations. It is true, we will deal with that, we will have those struggles. And so the thing is, if we are going to have disappointment in this life, then we better have a good theology and strategy to deal with those disappointments. As one person says, Jesus says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That is true, but some days life will kick you in the teeth. But God is still good. He is still good in the midst of it. Tonight, let's think about just for a few minutes, how do we deal with disappointment? How do we deal when life does not meet our expectations, when people do not meet our expectations, and most of all, when God does not meet our expectations? How do we make it here on earth? Well, let's take some advice from Paul. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:24-29, let me give you the highlights. He tells about all the struggles he had throughout his life. Probably not all of them, but he lists them out in a pretty good list to say, this is what has happened to me as I've been in ministry to God. He said, I have been beaten with lashes 5 times, 39 stripes each. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. I've been stoned. I have been shipwrecked 3 times. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm about to get on a boat and Paul's about to get on it, I'm not getting on the boat. And I believe one of the shipwrecks we read about took place after this. So I think there's at least 4. He said, one of those times I spent a day and a night out in the deep. I was on frequent journeys and dangers. I dealt with hurtful people. I was often without food. I had cold and exposure. And I had the daily pressure of the church weighing on me. Who is strong without me being strong? Who is weak without me being weak? Do you think Paul dealt with disappointments? Every day. What is it that he said we do to deal with disappointments? If we'll open up the Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, we'll spend the rest of our time there. Because I believe we should deal with our disappointments the same way he dealt with him, his. First of all, Philippians 4:4, he said, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. The way we deal with disappointments is, one, to rejoice, not just to be... There's no little kids in here, right? Good. We're not to be a bunch of walking around giggling idiots. Okay? Rejoicing and being that is two different things. Rejoicing is having a deep knowledge of God in His presence and having a joy that knows His promises. And that's why we rejoice in the Lord no matter what is going on. And I think it was so difficult for people to understand. He said it twice. Rejoice in the Lord, and again, I will rejoice. In other words, if we're going to deal with disappointment, the thing we're going to have to do is to have a perspective that is different than the world's. We have a perspective that keeps us keyed in with God and seeing Him sometimes through our tears and through our anger and through our struggle, and we realize we have joy in Him because of His promises. Perspective is everything. John Milton said this, the mind is its own place and in itself can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. Many times how we choose to look at something determines how it impacts us. I think one of the greatest sadnesses some couples feel is when they're unable to have children. If you've ever met with a couple who desperately wants kids and they can't have kids, they are beyond disappointed. Many times there's questions about God, what's going on, the struggle that's there. I know of a couple that both went to a Christian school, and they were excited, and both of them wanted a big family. And they realized they couldn't have kids. I love what they did. They started adopting. They've either adopted four or five. At the time I had the next picture, it was four. And they've adopted children from all over the world. I love what the dad said, this brother in Christ said. When you look at this, you see the twins that they have, you see all their children, you see this beauty that's there in their family. And I love what the dad said. He said, "My genes are not the most important things that I can pass on to the next generation." How powerful is that? That's joy through disappointment, is it not? That is saying my perspective is different. I'm going to focus on God. Because the greatest thing He can pass on to the next generation is what? Jesus. It's faith. I love what's said here in Luke chapter 10. After the limited commission, Luke 10:17. Said the 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name." And He said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given You authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." When I read that, I'm thinking He made them modern day superheroes. They're like, "We are now invincible." Wouldn't that be awesome to know that a snake, all these things, nothing could hurt you? But look what He says. Don't rejoice in that. Don't rejoice that even the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Perspective. The second way He tells us to do this, I look at this, He says, your problem is temporary, God is eternal. Perspective. The second thing He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone, the Lord is at hand. The second way we deal with disappointment is we focus on the Lord's presence in our life. I think what's tough for us is sometimes we don't feel like God is close. And since we don't feel like God is close, we determine in our mind that He must not be close. In other words, we let our feelings determine our thoughts instead of our knowledge and thoughts determining our feelings. If Jesus says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you," do we know that? Is that a promise? Then our knowledge has to determine how we feel. I have a very good friend who went to school here, and her name is Beth Haley Williams, and she spends a lot of her time in Uganda working with child soldiers. These children have gone through more than you can imagine. Most of them were abducted from their home, and the first thing they were told to do, somewhere between the ages of 6 and 12, is to take the life of their own parents. The goal of Joseph Kony and the LRA is to dehumanize these children so that they become killing machines as they grow up. And there are people who go in and rescue these kids. And as they get rescued, Beth has a group that goes in and tries to counsel them and do therapy with them to help them come through this. And one of the exercises she does with them, she gives them a piece of cloth. It's a white handkerchief. And on that handkerchief, they write down all the times that they were afraid and felt that God was not there, all the struggles they've been through. And I have looked at some of these pictures, and it will bring tears to your eyes. Then she gives every one of them a heart, and on that heart she puts a cross, and she said, "You need to know that Jesus loves you, and He was with you in the midst of all of it. And He loves you no matter what you've done. He loves you no matter what's going on." And as she tells these children that, they hold that heart close to them. And they put that heart in the middle of that paper, that handkerchief, so that they can always know that Jesus was there with them. She wants to connect their feelings and their knowledge for them to know and to feel that God is there. Can I promise you, God's with us. There's days it doesn't feel that way. There's days you struggle. There's days you stand over a casket. There's days you get a phone call or a text message and you can't believe what you just heard. But let me tell you, God is with us and we can deal with our disappointments because He is near. I love what Daniel Whittle said. Never a trial that He is not there. Never a burden that He does not bear. Never a sorrow that He does not share. Moment by moment, we are under His care. He is near us. The next thing we're told to do with our disappointments is do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I struggle with this verse because there's not a loophole in it. I wish it said, do not be anxious about some things. Because there's some things I'm anxious about, and I think I have a right to be anxious about, and I want to be able to hold on to that anxiety, if you will, as crazy as that sounds. And as I think about this, I go through, but I also love that anything and everything are used. He said, the reason you don't have to be anxious about anything is because you can take to God everything. Prayer is powerful. What do you do when a disappointment hits? You pray. Sometimes it's just, please God, help. There's a book by a lady named by the name of Anne Lamott, and she says, help, thanks, and wow, the three necessary prayers. Just one word prayers. Help, thank you, and wow, God. And many times we have to call out to Him and know He's there. I love that we're told in Hebrews 4:16, with confidence we draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We can confidently go and talk to God. That is beautiful. And realize the eyes of the Lord are over what? The righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. We can deal with disappointments because we can go to Him with prayer. Then it says, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What I've always found interesting is that peace follows prayer. Did you just see that? Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. And what happens when you do that? Then the peace of God that passes all understanding will do what? Fill you. And comfort you. Why is that? Did God speak the world into existence? Does God always know what's best? Does God and Jesus, do they love me? Then if I've given it to Him, and I know I am His, and in His hands I can be at peace. Now you realize that's a lot easier to preach than to live, right? That's a whole lot easier to say than it is to live out. But it is where we are to be and have that. There's something about the peace of God that we all want, and to know that God is with us and God has everything under control. One of the things we struggle with is giving that control over to God. Some of you, most of you as parents, have taught your children to drive. I'm going to guess every time you've taught your children to drive, you wish there was another steering wheel, gas pedal, and a big brake pedal right in front of you. Why? Because it's scary to do that. Many of your prayer lives were increased greatly as you taught your children to drive. You prayed a lot more in that passenger seat than you ever thought you could. If God's driving, I don't need any controls. I can rest. We're told in Philippians 4:19 that my God will supply all of our needs and riches in Christ Jesus. We should be able to be at peace if we realize He's going to supply what we need. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He said, here's how you deal with disappointment. Learn to focus on what is honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and true. Our mind is a tough place. Because many times we have thoughts that just spin out. We struggle with those thoughts. And if we're going to be people who focus on what's right, the first thing we have to free our mind and feed our mind with what's true. What's that? It's God's Word. I think that's one reason it's important for us to have an incredible devotional life with God and spend time in His Word, because that is truth. Also, we have to get our mind away from destructive thoughts. There are things in our head that take us away from God. We have to get rid of those things. I like what I read this week. It said, never doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. And when disappointments happen, usually we feel like it's dark and everything's going in. Do not forget what God has already shown you in the light. And also feed the mind and focus on those right things, the things we see in God's Word, the things that build up others. At the end, he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Look at this promise. He says, here's how you deal with it. You see the things we just talked about? Realize God's presence. Be somebody who rejoices. Pray. Realize His presence. Do this, and the God of peace will be with you. There are situations that are tough. Many in here may know Caleb Sams. He's a young man that I've known since he was before he was a teenager. This is a picture of he and his family, and he and his dad Kurt, and his mom and sister. And I think about all the work that Caleb has done through camps and different things. He's part of Horizon staff. All the young people he's reached with the gospel, and we realize that he was diagnosed with cancer just a couple years ago. Basketball is a big part of his life. He thought he had a hurt ankle, and he went home, and when he got checked out, it found out that he indeed had to have cancer, and then found out that he was going to have part of his leg amputated. This is a picture of his father, what he drew on the beach there. And I think about his mom and dad's constant love for him in the middle of disappointments. They didn't expect their son, who's 20, 21 years old, to have cancer. Who does? He didn't expect him being somebody who loved to play basketball and be athletic, be somebody who's going to now have a prosthetic instead of his real legs. All the disappointment that comes with that. All the thoughts of somebody who wants to love God and be a minister. Why would this happen to him? You think about all the disappointment that's wrapped up there. The day they took his leg off, this is one of the pictures that they showed as they got him up and walked around the hospital. They were posting these things through Facebook, and you could see them. But I want to show you something really neat. If you see this picture, you'll see him, and you'll see a wheelchair behind him. Here's another angle of the same picture. Who's there behind him? His dad. It's just a different perspective. So many times disappointments hit and we lose our perspective and we forget that God's with us. We forget that God's loved us, but if we had the full picture, we would see that He is there and with us. And we can have joy through the midst of disappointments because we realize His promises and we see He is there waiting and watching and leading and caring and there with us because He wants us to be with Him. We began by singing Jesus Loves Me, and we have to realize it is all about Him. Our life is about Him. We realize these disappointments happen. Are they worldly things we're disappointed in, or are they things with Christ? Can we count on Him? When we go back to verses 1 and 2, what we read is, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. He says, don't quit. He comes down and says, I entreat you, Yodia and Syntyche, to agree in the Lord. Can you imagine acting up so bad your name gets put in the Bible about you not being able to get along at church? I've thought about that. That's just a funny thing to me. He said, yes, I ask you, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Two things are so important. Stand firm. And the thing is your name in that book? What it tells me to stand firm is this. I'm sorry, this may be a little offensive, one word may be. But when it comes to our faith, when disappointments hit, crawling is acceptable. Falling is acceptable. Puking is acceptable. Crying is acceptable. Blood is acceptable. Pain is acceptable. But quitting is not. Stand firm through those disappointments. Stay with God. And the second thing is your name in that book of life. That's the big thing. That's what makes every disappointment. One day all disappointments will be made right when we are called home. Tonight is your name there. If you're not a Christian, let me encourage you tonight to give your life to Christ. You will not be disappointed in that. You will come out of that water a child of God. It will be a blessing. And I pray that you will do that tonight. If you are a Christian and you are struggling, can I encourage you to stand firm and don't quit. If you need to respond tonight to say, I need my church family to pray for me to keep going, we want to do that. If we can help you with any of this, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?